This is Ozarks at Large. Almost ever since movies have been made, there have been characters in those movies from the Middle East or of Arabic descent. Jack Shaheen has watched almost all of those movies. For decades, Shaheen, an author, college professor, and documentary filmmaker, has been examining how Hollywood has treated Arab characters. He says almost always the treatment has been negative, from bumbling stereotypes in movies like Harem Scarum to sociopathic terrorists in a swath of action films made over the past 30 years. Shaheen has written the book Real Bad Arabs, How Hollywood Vilifies a People, and he participated in the making of the documentary movie of the same name. Last month, he visited the University of Arkansas to talk about the way the popular image of Arabs has been shaped in Western entertainment.
Well, and any time you have a stereotype, you have to have fixed images that don't change of any group. And with Arabs, just like with Native Americans, Asians, Jews, if you're going to vilify them, you take the same images and you repeat them over and over again, not only in the cinema, but on television shows and comic books, you name it, toys and games. So you take the sheikh, you know, the sort of oversexed sheikh with too much money, the Bedouin bandit, the terrorist, the boisterous bargainer in the souk who says, "I give you a good price," and then he raises it several hundred dollars to try and cheat you. And then with women, the same thing. They're either buxom belly dancers that no one wants. They're clad in black from head to toe. I call them bundles in black. They're terrorists, or they're submissive. And normally they don't speak. They're mute. And so you combine those, you set it in sort of a primitive environment, namely the desert.
Mm-hmm.
You exclude family, because if they have children and if they're happily married, you can't vilify them. And what's interesting about this formula, I mean, Goebbels said it years ago back in the 30s, in order for this to be effective, you repeat the same images over and over and over again. And what I found in watching those nearly 1,200 films, the second edition, I found even more. I keep finding them, unfortunately, and they're there. There's very little variation.
It starts actually before, but Rudolph Valentino.
Right, even before Valentino.
Even before that.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I think, you know, in the early days, we sort of vilified anyone that wasn't Lily White. Right. We picked on the Asian, you know, the black, the Hispanic. I mean, they were all foreigners. Mm-hmm. We just sort of went after them. And then gradually, as we began to unlearn our prejudices of those other groups, you know, the civil rights movement, the incarceration of Japanese Americans, the Holocaust with Jews. I mean, all of these things, we became aware that cowboy and Indian films were no longer acceptable, although we still couldn't cast a Native American as Tonto. You know, it had to be
Johnny Depp.
So
yeah.
I boycotted the film.
Well, you and just about the entire movie.
Yeah, and good for us, you know. And these things, but what happened is as we began to sort of grow up, we stuck with this image of Arabs and Muslims, and then we began to embellish it. And it's been with us now for more than a century, and it doesn't seem, actually in many ways, it's gotten worse, because now it's not so much the wealthy sheikh, it is primarily the image of the terrorist. And of course, events, you know, 9/11, the Boston bombing, Major Hassan down in Texas. We've taken these events, I think they're special interest groups like the Clarion Fund and people like Daniel Pipes and Daniel Horowitz, you know, they have a political agenda. You can vilify a Muslim or an Arab, even an American Muslim or an American Arab, if you're running for public office and get money. So if I lived here in Fayetteville and I wanted to get elected, all I'd have to do, I'm not sure, you know, everyone would vote for me, but I guarantee you that some people would provide me with funds so that, you know, I could launch a pretty good campaign.
You mention events, and you actually, you know, go back to the mid-70s and the oil embargo. And,
right.
And the movie Network.
Yes.
An Oscar winner.
Yes.
You know, I hadn't seen that movie in a couple of decades, and then there's a clip in the documentary. I had forgotten that Peter Finch's character, Howard
Beale,
One of his big rants to get people angry is to yell at Arabs and Saudi Arabians buying up America.
We all know that the Arabs control $16 billion in this country. They own a chunk of Fifth Avenue, 20 downtown pieces of Boston, a part of the Port of New Orleans, an industrial park in Salt Lake City. They own big hunks of the Atlanta Hilton, the Arizona Land and Cattle Company, the Security National Bank in California, the Bank of the Commonwealth in Detroit. They control Aramco, so that puts them into Exxon, Texaco, and Mobil Oil. They're all over.
Right. Not only that, everyone says stop it and the sale does not go through. What's interesting is Chayefsky, if you do any research on Chayefsky's feelings about Arabs,
and he was the screenwriter.
Yeah, he won an Academy Award for Best Screenplay.
Yeah.
I mean, he won an Academy Award for that. Of course, it's a terrific comment, as I say in the documentary. It's one of my favorite films, except, and that's a major exception, the ranting against Arabs. It's not against anyone else except Arabs.
And that's interesting because it's one thing if you see a movie like Harum Scarum,
right,
which you don't take seriously, or The Happy Hooker Goes to Washington.
Yes.
I mean,
these
you
are
don't
light.
Expect.
No.
But to see then Network.
A major.
Or perhaps one of the most egregious examples is Father of the Bride 2,
yes,
with Steve Martin.
Right.
I think it's Eugene Levy.
Yes.
The comic actor plays a wealthy.
Mr. Habib.
And it's offensive.
Yeah, it's Disney.
It's minstrel.
Yeah, it's Disney. Disney has a horrific track record when it comes to the vilification of Arabs. You know, I wish someone was here from Mickey Mouse Studios. We could have a discussion about it.
Well, you point out the opening lines in this first song of Aladdin,
right,
which is designed for children,
right,
paints a horrible picture.
Right. Fortunately, after our meeting with Disney executives, they took out some of the offensive, some of it, you know.
How hard is it to determine what is just a trope, just lazy screenwriting? Okay, we'll make this chic, rich, and bumbling because that's the stereotype that has been developed over decades. And how much points more towards something much darker?
I don't think you can apply motive to anyone. What you can do is look at his or her track record. You can follow certain filmmakers, certain screenwriters. Some have a track record in the vilification of Arabs. Others do not. And, you know, if I have an agenda and you ask me, I'm not going to admit it. You know, I mean, there's so many reasons. There's apathy, you know, it's convenience. I know if I throw in an evil Arab or a Muslim with a beard who says Allahu Akbar, chances are no one's going to protest. I can get away with it. And these films make money. You know, the Middle East market is not like the German market prior to World War II, when many Hollywood studios, even though they knew what was happening to the Jews of Germany, they kept selling their films to Nazi Germany because of the money, you know. But the Middle East, although there are 1.3 billion Muslims in the world, you would think they would wake up and try to in some way become a little more sensitive. And it's also interesting, like the Chinese are censoring films now. I don't know whether you were aware of that. I just found that out. The certain films that were shipping to China, people are looking at them. Certain Chinese executives are looking at these films, making sure they're not too offensive.
Well, I know there have been stories of rewrites that Iron Man 3 had to rewrite some aspects to make sure
that
villain was not seen as a Chinese citizen.
And prior to World War II, we had this German diplomat, you know, with the studios so that the films could not be anti-German. Yeah, I'm opposed to that. I mean, I wouldn't want that with any group. I just think that's, well, we're with NPR here. I'm a Pittsburgh boy, and I won't say what I really think, but I'll tell you after we're off the air. But that should not be. But again, it goes to the economic thrust here, that this is a business, and they do want to make money, and they'll do most anything sometimes. In order to make that happen.
Some of these movies with these Arabic or Islamic or Muslim stereotypes, though, do play internationally.
Yes,
and
almost all of them.
And so what's the message there if almost every Arabic character is either bumbling or evil?
I don't know what, I'm going to the Middle East and I next week, actually, or 10 days from now. and I have to see what they have to say about that. The last time I was in Beirut, I mean, it was interesting that some people say it's only a movie, and I think sometimes it's they don't want to think that they're being vilified. It's a denial. Do you know, they love the movies. Mm-hmm. They love the stars. Everybody loved, and I think still they love Arnold Schwarzenegger in spite of True Lies. And they don't want to believe that Hollywood's doing this. But it's very dangerous. After we screened Real Bad Arabs last night here on campus, someone came up to me and asked about the impact of these films abroad. And I said, well, you know, I'm sure those who hate us will probably use those clips or clips from some of these films to recruit young, not-so-nice men and women. I don't have any evidence of right. that, you know, but I would not be surprised if they were used for propaganda against the United States.
It seems almost every movie that has had a major character from a Middle Eastern country or Middle Eastern heritage connects it to war or to terrorism. It's as if no Arab character right. can be anything
except of evil.
Even someone fighting evil in the few movies right. where there. But it's never out of that context. It can't be someone who's a grocer in Peoria, Illinois.
There is on television, there's a new series out, which isn't very good, but not bad, Low Winter Sun on AMC, where one of the detectives just happens to be an Arab-American woman. Just happens to be, with no other stereotypes around. In other words, she's not a token. She's just on the police force. Well, it's set in Detroit. You know, where there's a large percentage of American Arabs. So bravo to those producers. That's what's necessary. You know, that we appear as American Arabs and American Muslims, although I'm not an American Muslim. I'm a Christian, but I talk about Islam because of the vilification of Muslims, where they appear in programs just like anyone else, you know. And there's no difference. Why not? The multicultural, it reflects what we are as a country. And I think when we get to that point, you know, we will have arrived. That's another way to shatter the stereotype.
If you go back and you look at movies, Johnny Weissmuller's Tarzan,
right.
and the black characters in that movie are bumbling, and we've made progress. You can argue whether African Americans are equally represented in Hollywood. Or you look at the Charlie Chan movies. Asian characters are not always perceived now that way. You say at the end of near the end of the documentary that you're optimistic, that something could change as far as how Hollywood. Do you still feel that way?
Absolutely. What's happening now, when I first wrote my book, The TV Arab, back in 1984, there were no young Arab American filmmakers, screenwriters. They're out there now. They're coming out of the woodwork. What's happened is these young people of today who have really been impacted by this stereotype, you know, the films of the 90s and the TV shows, they're not going to sit. They're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. So they're making it. There's a wonderful film called The Citizen. It's an independent film that just came out. You can check on it. And it's about a guy who arrives in the country one day before 9/11. From Egypt and what happens to him. It's a very good film. Movies like The Visitor, America. They're independent films. They're not blockbusters, but they're out there. And Detroit Unleaded. They're all, these young men and women are determined to make a difference. So I think presence will play a role. And eventually, you know, because it doesn't cost so much to make a movie nowadays, you can do a film for $1 million or under $1 million. And some of these films, one of these films will catch on, and that will help. That will help.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Jack Shaheen is the author of the book Real Bad Arabs, that's R-E-E-L, and spoke on the University of Arkansas campus last month. And during his visit, he came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. This is Ozarks at Large.